Rotatoes! I hope you're well, I hope you're hydrated, and I hope you're feeling good on this Friday. You're currently experiencing a Friday in the future. It's still February for me, and you have just entered March. And all I can say is that I hope that 2026 has calmed the hell down and that everyone is just acting a little bit more normally than they are right now. Because, man, the world is crazy. And I just want to take a second to say how much we appreciate you being here during times like this, supporting our show, listening to our show, and hopefully finding a little bit of solace in our show. It means so much to us to produce this show for you all. It means so much to us to have an incredible and supportive community like all of you in our corner. And so I just want to say a huge, resounding, massive, whopping thank you, because without you, we simply wouldn't have a show. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for being here, for listening and supporting us in any way, which way that you do. It means the world to us. So I will stop rambling on and let you get into the first part of our finale of Arc 1, possibly my favorite episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast to date. Sorry, Zach. Let's get into it. Take it away. Past me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Feel good?
No.
Jesus.
Do we feel good?
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody. I am Jas William Cartwright, and I am sat with three very nervous folks who are going to be completing this episode one way or another. This is where it ends, baby. Arc one of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I just said this off air, but I'll say it again. What an incredible arc this has been, guys. Truly could not be more excited to cap this off with you. You are all looking quite nervous, though. Quick round, as we go around, just one or two words on how you're feeling right now. We'll start with you, George Primavera. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for welcome. Injured is how I feel. Betrayed, injured, devastated, filled with rage. If I could take a level just for fun, I'd be taking a level in Barbarian, baby. You better
yeah,
believe I would.
Nice.
It's unfortunately, it's not going to benefit me, this rage, but it will dictate all of my next actions. That's how I feel. Is that few enough words?
Yeah. Love it.
Oh my God.
Absolutely love
Here
it.
We go.
Here we go. You got this. You got this. Aaron Keefe, betrayer of men. What is your, what is up?
Hey, I'm sorry. And I had a plan and it didn't go as I planned. And I'm so sorry.
So your word is sorry?
I think my general word is sorry. My other word I would say is probably frightened.
Mm.
And my other word is probably, are you mad at me?
That's a good one word. That's a good one word.
Yeah.
And rounding out the trio, it's of course Jajon Mackey.
You know, just for the sake of variety, I'm resolved.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm resolved. I'm feeling resolved. I think me, John the player, and Shaddy Turlet, in the face of this just utter betrayal, not only by Tundra, but by this guy who was helping him, who turned out to be the Salt Father, I think Shaddy is really coming into himself right now because of all of the emotion that he's felt in the last 2 days, and he's ready to kick some fucking ass, is what I'll say.
Yeah, let's go. There we go.
John, you just went to the top of the list of who I would call in an emergency.
Yeah.
If I'm ever going to the emergency room, I'm calling you first.
Same, which is silly because you're a long way away from me, but I'm still going to call you.
Jasper, you can call me and let me know what's going on, but I would say definitely contact someone closer by.
First. And then come.
No, John, you can handle it. Don't underestimate yourself like that. You can.
You know, actually, it's okay. Make me your emergency contact, Jasper. That's fine.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into this episode 10 of the Rotating Heroes podcast, Arc 1.
Deep Space Recap.
Hey everyone, Vox Vinny back in your ear holes, pouring stardust into your coffee whilst the galaxy might be about to burn around us. We rejoin this circus right after a surprise decapitation. Shadi still clutching the head like an overdue library book, guilt gnawing harder than a moon rat on cable. Meanwhile, Tundra crashes through the glass ceiling, literally, landing on Ollie's dinner table, in a shower of broken brunch and mangled arm bones. Ollie sets the limb with all the bedside charm of a karaoke surgeon, whilst the starstruck waiter named Mark signs on to be on Team Disaster. Enter Urinal, rocking a celebrity disguise so flimsy that it might as well be a sticky note. He slaps the void bomb on the table back in his office and sets a shiny 30-minute death egg timer, barking updates and telling everyone how this is gonna go down. Plus, there's the added wrinkle they need to get up to the solarium, whilst also noting that the teleportation trick he had only counts for passengers whose name is on the ledger. Which means that Ollie and Tundra won't be going anywhere, whilst the Turlet boys will be poofed away first class. Family perks, am I right? Back in Shadyland, the fixer bodyguard Bronkar stumbles in on the headless mess and provides a hush-hush cover-up. Flips Shadi a panic stone for midnight emergencies, and off he goes, sprinting to find the rest of the team. Now the clock is ticking. The panels come off of the bomb, and the team works together to try and look into the void and maintain their composure, seeing all kinds of weird and wonderful things, including Ollie nearly losing his grip on reality. He doesn't, but what he does lose is a finger in a sudden decompression. Then cut to the solarium, where Urinal's VIP card suddenly doesn't work. Ollie resummons Shiny as he bamps them through security. And this, my friends, is where it goes from bad to worse for our group. You see, it seems Bronkar was actually the Salt Father in disguise, and as Shadi calls him up to ask for his help, he reveals his hand. And not only that, my friends, they manage to get through and open the solarium doors. It's at that point, however, that Tundra decides to turn on the party. Pushing Ollie and Shadi through the open doorway as she continues her conversation with the Salt Father, seemingly on his side. It's at that point that a strange, dead-eyed version of Ember emerges through the double doors and, last but not least, throws the void bomb onto the ground. And remember, roll high or roll... Who am I kidding? We're already in the void. A needle-thin whine echoes through the corridors of the Shadesmar, as though the universe takes a collective breath, bracing itself. As the void bomb clatters across the deck of the ship. And then the world goes white, as sound folds in on itself. You feel heat from the Vega side of Anvil, and the bite of frost in the same heartbeat. There are jagged afterimages that strobe through your vision of storm-lashed spires from Mardeen. You see chrome vines thrashing in Sim and violet cloud reefs cut adrift in the nebula. It's teeming with life, and as everything slows, your pulse is the only proof that time still marches on. Shapes, sound, everything recoils from the light. The last things you see, Ollie's outstretched hand missing a pointer finger. Shadi's own hand consumed with a crimson, molten blood. Yernal's confused, wide eyes struggling against the heat of the ship's engine. Ember's sneer. The glint of the Saltfather's blade. A man named Mark appearing in the elevator looking extremely concerned and confused.
Mark, no!
And Tundra's panicked expression. And then everything tears away like a page of a book. Space begins to fray, and thousands of crosshairs settle on you all. Axis will bear witness as to who stands together as this light begins to fade. So, I'm going to need some rolls from people. I'm going to ask Shadi, would you please roll me a D10? And I am also going to roll a D10.
I rolled a 9.
Ooh, okay.
No, don't say that. Don't go hoo-hoo.
Sorry. Ha-hoom.
Don't go hoo-hoo.
Don't go hoo-hoo.
Don't go hoo-hoo.
Yip-yay-o.
Yeah. Ollie, I'm going to need you to roll me a D10, and I shall also roll a D10.
An 8.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
No, don't make those kinds of sounds.
No, okay. No, it was good. It was okay. Good. It's fine. It's fine. I changed my mind midway through. I was like, okay. Okay, actually. Okay, this is fine. And finally, Tundra, I'm going to need you to roll me a D10, please. And actually, with this one, can I please have George, can you roll me the other D10, please?
I rolled a 6.
I rolled another 8 for me.
Oh.
Fuck, what did we just do? What's happening?
So, Shadi, as this light consumes your vision, the last thing that you remember seeing is a strange line of purplish energy extended out from you and be heading in the direction of your brother.
Okay.
There is a moment as you blink your eyes and suddenly you find yourself still surrounded by heat on this strange metal walkway over what appears to be a broiling pit of lava. And I'm going to need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Can I tell that Shadi is mind controlled?
Yes, you could see his hand was wreathed in that same swirling.
Then he can add my save to the bonus.
The problem is you are not there.
Oh, fuck. Okay, oh, no. All right. I didn't understand that. All right, I understand what's happening now. That's horrible. Okay.
Okay, well, I have 13. I rolled a 13, Dex.
A 13? That is not going to be enough.
Fuck! Jasper! First roll!
You're going to take 8 points of fire damage. As a burst of magma spills up. You manage to kind of crawl back and out of the way, but some flecks of it land on your skin and on your clothes, burning them away and searing your skin. You back up, and you back up into your brother, Yernal. And as the magma settles on the bridge, and you can see parts of the bridge beginning to melt away, on the other side, a figure stands opposite you, drawing a sword as Ember on the bridge.
Jasper!
Now is going to run directly at you, and we are going to I'm going to get you to roll me initiative, please.
Me?
Yes, please.
Oh my. One.
One?
A nat one.
Nat one.
Oh my god. Awesome.
Do you want to roll for Yernal?
Fucking 3.
Wow, okay, what's Yernal's dexterity? Because Ember also rolled a 3.
Oh, I don't know. What is Bjornal's dexterity? Have we built
that's a very interesting. It's a plus +3. Ember's is a plus +4, unfortunately. So Ember's going to go first.
Oh, we are fucked. We are so fucked.
Ember does a lot of damage in the first round of combat if people haven't acted yet. So.
Oh, no. She's an assassin, dude. You're toast.
So if she hits, this will be a crit.
Jesus Christ.
She is going to dash forward. You see that she jumps over a hole in this bridge that, as the magma's landed on it, it started to eat away into it. She runs forward. You see her drawing this sword, and you see that it kind of looks like it's sort of a dull, almost like cheap replica of the sword that you've seen Tundra wielding.
Okay.
She jumps over this gap, brings it down, takes a swing against you, and that is a 23 to hit.
That hits big time, my friend.
That will be a crit, in which case.
I'm about to die. I'm dead. I'm so dead.
How are you doing hit points-wise, John?
I'm okay. I have 57, so for now.
Okay.
Yeah, she can't do 57 in one hit, right?
Are you raging or no?
I'm not raging yet. I haven't raged.
Chatty. You see Ember dives forward, raising the sword above her head. She brings it down and drives it straight through your abdomen. You can feel as hot blood starts to pour out of the wound as Yernal suddenly starts like freaking out. He's literally like, you're kind of collapsed on him and he's like holding you like in a panic. What the fuck? What the fuck? As you take 45 points.
Jesus Christ, Jasper!
Of damage. It is at this point that Yernal is going to take his turn. And Shadi, you watch as something strange starts to happen to your brother. As he begins to twitch, you see his jaw becomes a little distended, and where his clean-shaven face suddenly grows and starts to spring and sprout hairs as this giant jaw opens up as he goes into his beast form rage, and he's going to bite at... Oh, and that's a natural 20!
Yes, Yernal!
How about that? As he bites into Ember, landing a pretty sweet blow for a total of 23 points
nice.
Of damage, and he has another attack.
Shadi's on the ground, he's like hurting, he's like, nice! He musters a nice!
He's gonna take another attack, let's see.
Yes, Yernal!
Ooh, that one's not going to hit. You see that this time his fingers, like the ends of his fingernails start like split as these claws start pushing through and he starts like desperately like scrambling. What he does manage to do with his attack though is he manages to put himself in between you and Ember and you see that he roars with a ferocity like something you've never heard before. And I think that like, suddenly something clicks for you, which is when you were kids, you and your brothers and sisters used to joke about the fact that there was a beast that used to live in the woods and used to come out at moonlight. And I think you've suddenly clicking together what that has been this whole time.
Yernal! You're a werewolf!
Just turns around and roars at you like, kind of amped up, and then it kind of just gives you a thumbs up and then like pivots back to Ember. Absolutely incredible. It is your turn.
All right. Okay. I have to rage. I'm gonna rage.
You go into a rage. Please go ahead and roll me wild magic because we're still doing that.
Please don't be anything weird. 4.
Hell yeah. Okay. So, the weapon that you currently hold in your hand suddenly infuses, and I think the way this is going to manifest right now is you watch as some of that like magma that was on your arm suddenly like your whole hand becomes like enveloped as if it's made out of molten rock, and as does I'm assuming you'd probably pick your great axe.
Yeah, for sure.
So the great axe that you're holding in your hand suddenly takes on the same appearance. Whilst you're in this rage, any damage from this weapon counts as force. And it also gains the thrown property. It has a range of 20 feet. And if it leaves your hand, it automatically appears back in your hand at the end of the turn.
Nice. Okay. How far is Ember from me right now?
I'll say that she's like 15 foot, like she's backed up having, with a urinal having kind of like got in between the two of you basically.
Okay, and how wide is this? Is this?
It's not super wide. I'm probably going to say it's 5 feet. Like it's pretty narrow.
Okay, yeah. Okay. This is what I want to do. Tell me if I can do it or not. I want to throw my axe at her, but mostly as a distraction, because then I want to run and try to push her off the side of the bridge.
Okay.
But I want her to have to be defending against this axe that's being thrown at her.
Okay, here's how this is going to work. If you land the hit, it won't do any damage, but it'll impose disadvantage on her next check.
Okay. I love this. Okay.
Let's do it. Let's go. Let's cook, Shaddy. Let's cook.
Okay, so 17 to hit.
17 hits. So she's going to have disadvantage.
Okay.
I guess as you burst past your brother.
Yeah. Blood pouring out of my stomach.
Yeah, you're going full, like, NFL, just, like, tackle, or what's the technique here?
I don't want to tackle because I don't want to, like, risk her being able to, like, grapple me and to pull me over the edge also. So what I'm going to go for is, like, two-hand kind of, like, shove, like, underneath the armpits, just, like, kind of, like, trying to, like, push her off and throw her.
Do you yell and or say anything as you do you attempt to throw Tundra's long-lost love into lava?
I'm screaming, just to convince myself that I'm not doing anything bad, I'm screaming that this isn't her, it's not really her, it's a zombie, she's a zombie.
This is very on-brand for Shaddy this season.
Yeah.
Convincing yourself that someone you're about to murder isn't the real person, it's fine.
Yes, it's not her, he's running at her. It's a zombie! He's like examining her, he's running closer, like looking to try to be like, any signs that this is like not a living human being.
Yeah, she looks pretty soulless and dead, for sure.
Yeah, so I feel okay about it.
Okay, let's go, we're gonna go ahead and do opposed athletics.
Okay. Oh, it's athletics. I have really good athletics.
Actually, oh, she's got good athletics too. I didn't realize that she has proficiency.
But she has disadvantage, or do I have advantage?
She has disadvantage. Well, actually, I'll let you pick. You can either have advantage or she has disadvantage. Up to you.
I'll take it. I'll take fate into my hands. I want advantage.
Well, how about this? I'll go ahead and roll first.
Yeah, roll. No, no.
Ember's rolled a natural one.
Oh! Yes! Just don't nat one.
Just don't nat one twice and you'll be fine.
No, don't nat one twice. Okay, let's see. 16 plus 7, so 23 or 28. So, see you later, Ember.
Yeah.
Maybe?
You pick Ember up, push off. You see Ember starts to cascade through the air. As time almost feels like it begins to slow down, she sort of looks towards you and holds out a hand.
No.
And just hear her, tell her I...
No.
Love her.
No. No, 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 no.
You see a jet of molten lava comes rising from the ground towards her as if to meet her. And then suddenly, as if she glitches, you see a flash of white. And she's gone.
What?
A flash of white, and Yarnel's gone. A flash of white. Shaddy, and you no longer stand on the bridge, and we're gonna cut now.
What the fuck?
To Ollie.
Jasper, what are we doing? What's happening?
Ollie.
Yeah. What?
You find yourself in a strange library. You see rows and rows of books, old sort of arcane tomes, quite dusty, dim, and you look around. You don't know exactly where it is, but like this looks like a library in Anvil. Like you've been probably seen similar things like this before. There are little glow globes and sort of sources of light, but it's you know, it's pretty. Pre-relaxed, until suddenly, bursting through a shelf, sort of a whole section of this bookcase, this giant over 7 foot man as the Salt Father emerges into this aisle. And we're going to go ahead and roll initiative. This is really, really fucking important.
Oh, George. I'm so sorry, George.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want you to go first?
I'll let's, I don't know. I'm just going to roll this dice. Cool. I got a 7 on initiative.
7 total?
7 total. 8 minus 1.
Okay. Let me see. What's the Salt Father got? That's an 11 for a 17. At the top of the round, you see there are a number of these books, however, do seem to take umbrage with having been attacked so vehemently, as a number of them burst off of the shelves, their pages opening, and you hear this hissing sound as you get the sense that you are potentially in a cursed section of the library, and attacking books is a really, really bad thing to do. They don't seem to be particularly angry at you, more pissed at the Salt Father, and he is actually going to take some damage. You see as hundreds of these books throw themselves at the Salt Father, and he gets pinned down and like absolutely like hammered by them. He takes a total of 9 points of damage, of bludgeoning damage, and it is now his turn. So he is going to make an attack roll with his scythe. That is a 28 to hit. And the Salt Father is going to do 32 points with his first swing as he takes the scythe and just starts hacking away at these books, clearing them and like just slicing them in half. You then see that he sort of manages to get to his feet. He takes one book, you see, grabs it, puts it in his mouth and just bites the book in half as he's going to use his bite attack. He rolls a natural 20. Oh my goodness.
This is to the book, right?
This is to the book.
Great. Okay, cool, cool.
Absolutely destroying these books.
52 points of damage as he threw this book, tearing it in half. He gets up to his feet. He looks towards you, Ollie. He extends out his good hand and just beckons you forward.
Okay.
He just did 90 points of damage on those books.
Ollie's head drops.
Heed it.
He looks down at the ground. I think it's time to fight for myself a little here. I flick my hand and the silver ring hits the ground off my finger. The warding bond dismissed.
Yep. And that's a free action.
Yep. Okay, cool. And I'm going to use my bonus action. It's a 2024 paladin. To blast 27 hit points back into myself.
Nice.
Brings me up to 48 hit points. And then as my action, I am going to whistle loud. And after the whistle, just yell, "Shiny!" And I'm going to cast Find Steed without expending a spell slot as part of my paladin abilities.
Yes! Yeah!
And you see squeezing through that gap in the bookcase, this long-limbed kind of weird creature just sort of makes its way through like, "What are you? Oh, what the fuck? Why have you summoned me here?
Get your head in the game, Shiny!"
Okay, focused.
I was gonna summon the teleporty version of Shiny, but because of where we're at, I feel like that's not gonna help me end up where I want to be at all.
Sure.
I'm in a library. How did I get here? I'm going to summon the celestial version of Shiny that we've seen before.
Okay, this is the one that you bamfed away that caused this whole mess.
literally the whole problem at the beginning anyway. Yeah.
Instead of it, what just happened then, he kicks down a door and goes, "Boom, baby, not back."
Hell yeah. And I'm going to have Shiny heal me again.
Nice.
For even more hit points back. Let's see, I get 2d8 hit points back plus the level of the spell, which is a level 2 spell. So I get 11 hit points back, which will bring me back up to my full 58. And then I'm going to take to the sky. Shiny's gonna flap his wings, and we're going to take off as far as we can in the direction just upward. And I'm gonna beckon the Salt Father up.
Why don't you come up here, buddy?
I'm just gonna float in mid-space as much as I can away from like something he could leap up and jump at me with. But I'm ready for that if that occurs.
So the Salt Father's gonna go ahead and take a legendary action, and he is going to use his Tide Step ability. You see that he takes out from like his side. He has this like little flask of salt water. As he throws it up into the air, and as the water basically comes down, you see the Salt Father has completely disappeared. And he emerges next to you and just bear hugs Shiny and is staring like his face this close to yours and is like,
I am going to enjoy this. You will be my child whether you like it or not.
He bear hugs Shiny?
Yep.
I snap Shiny away as a free action. I already have a dad. Gone.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to need a dex saving throw from you, and he's going to try and grab hold of you. And have you seen the Pokemon movie?
I've seen the first Pokemon movie for sure.
Because the first Pokemon movie, Charizard has this move.
Oh, he pile drives him from high? Yeah. That's going to be a bummer.
Like, this is what the Salt Father's gonna try and do if you, if he gets hold of you.
Okay, that's a huge bummer. Here it comes. Dex save.
Dex save.
It's an 8.
Oh my goodness. That is a 31 for the Salt Father.
Well, he got me.
As he grabs hold of you.
Oh, fuck! Oh!
And then you see he stares into your eyes as both of you are on the same, like, your heads are on the same level. And he's just like, planning to crash you both into the ground at full force. And just as you're about to hit the ground, the Salt Father immediately disappears in a flash of white light. And then you immediately blink out of existence.
What the fuck is happening? What the fuck is happening?
Tundra.
Hi.
Tundra, you find yourself in a strange mess of vines and like web and detritus. Like, it feels as though you find yourself like caught in this like tangled mess of some organic, some semi-organic kind of vines. There's this canopy of huge trees, like impossibly tall trees. You find yourself, as you look down, you cannot even see the ground. You are that high in the air, kind of dangling, kind of caught in these vines. You see, also caught in these vines, you find the Void Bomb is there, kind of just teetering inside these vines. And you see a figure that you haven't met before. There is a giant with huge flowing dreadlocks and a absolutely impossibly big hammer that you can see the hammer has started to kind of weigh down the vines, and it feels as though these vines are going to collapse. And I'm going to need you and this random guy to roll a dexterity saving throw as these vines look like they're going to give way and you are going to plummet to the ground.
With the box.
It's not even in the box anymore. It's just the actual kind of like this almost perfectly spherical white Void Bomb.
14.
Here's my question. This guy is struggling big time. It looks like he is really, he's not having a good time and he's going to fall for sure. So with a 14, I'll let you either help him or you can try and catch the Void Bomb.
I'll help him.
You extend out a hand and he goes, whoa, thank you so much. I thought I was really going to meet my end there. It's nice to actually meet you in the flesh. You are much more, how do I say, attractive than the version of you that is in Ollie's head.
Huh. Tundra, even in this moment where everything crazy that has ever happened to her happened in the last 30 seconds, she takes a moment and she's like, okay, that's a little weird. Wait, speak more to that. That's crazy. Like, what do you mean?
Do we want to catch that thing? It looks like it is plummeting to ground.
Sorry, no, you were saying, like, in his head, am I, like, less strong? What kind of...
I think you just have more annoying face, maybe, in his mind, you know? Like, it's just sort
wow.
of, like...
Wow.
You just sort of look a little, like... You look like one of those guys at the bus station who just keep talking.
Wow.
You know, and you're like, okay, dude, like, we just met, you know? Like, kind of like that face.
Okay. This is true. Nothing has ever hurt Tundra's feelings more in her whole life. Okay. Okay. You know, that's fair.
Some of that could be me projecting. I don't know. I just,
no,
you know,
no,
it's
no.
just,
no,
we
no,
share
no,
consciousness, no. so it's hard to know where he begins and I end, you know? Anyway, we should. Do we want to catch that or no? Or are we good with that just falling?
Tundra's staring off into space. Yeah. Yes. Yes, we'll catch it. Yes, and that's what we'll do. And that's what we'll do is we'll catch it.
Cool. Well, we're not in initiative, so go ahead and make me either athletics or acrobatics to scramble across these vines and try and catch this thing before it plummets down. This dude is just going to brace himself against the trunk of a tree because he is way too heavy to be in just, like, vines.
Well, I got plus 7 athletics, so I'm going to do that. And I rolled a 13, so dirty 20.
Nice.
You managed to... using a sort of web of other vines, essentially, like, scoop this bomb up just as it's about to plummet through and catch it. It's pretty tenuous, and you're kind of holding it there. You, like, feel like you dare not move. And after a few seconds pass, you suddenly see that the void bomb just boom, disappears in a flash of white. So does this random stranger, and then so do you.
What is happening?
You all blink and find yourselves back aboard the ship of the Shadesmar, all kind of looking around. Everyone's looking a little bit confused. Even the Saltfather, honestly, is looking pretty confused as to what the hell's going on. You see that Yernal immediately is like, oh shit, the bomb! I need to get to the bomb! This is gonna keep happening! What? And as he goes to yell and he makes a break for the door, there is another flash of white light. Now, here's the way that this works. You notice those purple tethers now connect everyone that you were just in a space with. And you have a choice whether you want to break that tether or not.
I'm going to yell to Tundra,
what did you do?
Through the door. But I'm not going to cut the tether to the Saltfather. Because
you're not cutting the tether to the Saltfather?
I'm going to take him with me.
George, don't be the bigger, don't.
No, so, like, in our minds, what justification, or, like, what are we thinking is happening? Like, these things are just, like we it's randomly been chosen. Do I know? We don't know. We don't know anything.
You don't know? I will say this, Yernal cuts his tether to Ember, doesn't cut his tether to you.
And the other question that I have is, are the physical effects of what happened in these other spaces still
yes, you are bleeding profusely from your abdomen and it hurts like hell,
but Ember is still alive.
Ember is still, yeah, Ember's like on, like, currently like on her back in like the same position that you kind of last saw her, like looking incredibly confused but definitely still alive.
I don't know if Shaddy's quick thinking enough to know what to do right now, so I think he does, he's like confused for a second and probably doesn't cut the tether because he doesn't understand.
I have a question. Before I go, do I have time for an action, or is it just like instant?
It's like really instantaneous. This bit really instantaneous.
Okay, never mind then. I probably was reaching out to try to drop a cure wounds on Shaddy before I disappeared then, but I'm gone.
Yeah, I'll say that you can have that as like a readied action, so that if you have another like split second decision like this to make, you can do it. You can fire
it
off. Yeah,
next
then.
Time I'll know that I can ready that. Okay, I probably won't have time for that because this vampire is gonna kill my ex.
Well, the Saltfather looks at you very briefly, brings the scythe down on his tether, and turns his attention to Yernal.
Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Ember, on the other hand, breaks both of her tethers and then turns and stares at Tundra.
Fuck.
And I'm going to need you guys.
But then what happens to me? I'm not tethered anymore.
I'm not tethered anymore either.
None of you are tethered anymore. So I'm going to need all of you to roll me a d20.
11.
17.
9.
Erin Keefe, can you go ahead and roll me a D100, please?
Sure. I love this kind of thing. 93.
I'm now going to need Ollie to roll me a D100.
81.
Ooh, cool. Okay. Shaddy, I need you to roll me a D10, please.
2. A 2.
I also got a 2.
Hey, look at that.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. Okay. We will start with Tundra. Tundra, as you open your eyes again, you feel a stream of blissfulness and calm wash over your body. As you find yourself floating on a current, on a smooth, purplish current out in the middle of the nebula. You can breathe freely. And it feels like whatever this current is, it's designed to fill you, or at least whether it's designed or whether it just does it unintentionally, it fills you with a certain sort of feeling, and you, overriding all of your senses right now, you just feel joy. And next to you, giggling, a giggle that you've heard so many times before.
Oh, don't do this.
You see Ember on that same current with you. Just uncontrollably just laughing to herself. And you see that as she's laughing, she turns, looks at you, like her eyes kind of fill with tears as she just pulls out a dagger and makes a swing for you. And we're going to have to roll initiative.
What is this?
I got a... I actually did get a 15.
I got a 9.
You see, she pulls out a chain, which has like a little sort of almost like a dagger on like a ringlet on the end of it. And she kind of whips it round a few times and then just sings it towards you.
Whoa.
That's a 17 to hit.
Yep.
Tundra, you hear this familiar giggle. And it's at this point that her eyes, you see them fill with tears for a second. As she whips this chain out towards you, and it buries deep into your neck. Through kind of choking on blood and coughing, through still feeling the most intense and overwhelming sense of joy that you've ever felt in your life, what does Tundra say as you start to lose consciousness?
I missed you.
Oh! Oh!
Oh, God.
Devastating.
And there is a flash of white light as they both disappear.
This is so fun.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
I'm glad. Okay.
I love this. You guys, it is a Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Yeah. This is too rich for my blood. I got to get the hell out of here.
Ollie.
What?
You appear as a... huge, thunderous clap is heard overhead. As you see, thicker than a tree trunk, a arc of lightning crashes over your head as if going parallel across the sky. Now you tell me, has Ollie ever been to Mardeen before, the city planet that Shaddy is from?
Probably not. I think I grew up on the light side. And then worked on the border and then went to prison. So I think I haven't been much else except for in passing, maybe.
So this is probably one of the most intense sights that you've ever seen in your life. This is an arc of lightning that seems to span the entire sky from horizon to horizon. As you find yourself in this incredibly built-up area of almost solid kind of metal. It's like silvers and brasses and coppers... steam and like kind of strange kind of magical electrical currents running through, illuminating the metals in different colors. And in front of you, there is this strange swirling kind of blue, almost like vortex, as there appears to be some sort of gate. And coming from the behind you, you see a gigantic ship is kind of moving on tracks towards that gate. And I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, cool. My best thing. Oh, man.
However, just to add a little bit of complication to this, there's another flash of white light. And what should appear in this flash of white light? But a perfectly spherical white orb.
No! Where is the orb?
Just lying there right in front of you.
I grab it, I guess. I quick grab it.
That will impose disadvantage if you want to...
Oh, no, then I don't grab it.
It's pretty big and pretty heavy.
Yeah, I look at it and I go, oh, God, and I just dive out of the way, I guess. Oh, man. It's a seven.
A seven?
If I were gonna... Do I have time for an action, or is this the first thing that happens?
No. You can absolutely take actions and stuff here if you want to. Yeah.
A ship is blasting towards me right now.
Not blasting. It's like, imagine the Titanic is being launched into the ocean, and like you're like right there. It's like the Titanic is coming, kind of, and it's just so vast at this point that like rolling out of the way is difficult because you have to go, you have to keep going and going. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
That's essentially what's happening here.
What I would love to do, I'll pitch this. If I can't do it, I understand, because it's so split second. I want to use my last second level spell slot to truly cast Fine Steed. I unsummoned, so I would love to resummon Shiny again. Shiny does have 60 feet of flying. Would that 60 feet of flying be enough to get out of the way? And if not, I would summon the Fey version of Shiny and use teleportation as a bonus action to get the fuck out of the way. 120 feet.
Ooh.
And if I gotta, I'll teleport through the wall of the ship and into the ship.
Oh. I'm gonna say this. You could fly through whatever the shimmery blue thing is.
Okay.
Or you can teleport into the ship and take your chances with whatever that means.
That's a great point. Then I'll summon the celestial version of Shiny again, the Healy version, so I can keep that heal in tow. I'll grab the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And Shiny's back. I'm like, hey, sorry about that before.
No, it's okay.
Quick, do that blue ring.
What the fuck? Why?
This is going to bring us closer, Shiny. I know we've had a little bit of tension in the past, but we're really, you're really saving my butt right now.
And you fly through the gate?
Rocket through the blue portal. Yeah, we're going to go through the gate.
Oh, God.
What's up? You rocket through this blue portal as you suddenly see fire.
Oh, this was a bad choice.
Explosions. You see half of a ship tears itself apart as there appears to be some sort of huge space battle happening on the other side. As you turn around and look, the ship behind you is like a destroyer frigate and comes out barreling with like huge like explosions, these massive like magical cannons. Just poof. And you can see through gaps in the side of the ship, there are rows of mages firing spells through these spell cannons. And you see fireballs that would normally be, you know, 20 foot in diameter are like half a mile across.
Whoa.
Just exploding ships as you see hundreds of what appear to be these like pirate like vessels all kind of buzzing around, flying and destroying these kind of official-looking Mardeen ships. But you do manage to escape, and you and the bomb out of existence.
Ollie is screaming, like, as high-pitched as he possibly could be, and then it gets cut off abruptly. Does Shiny comes with me?
Shiny comes with you, yeah.
Okay, great. So Shiny and I, as I hold the bomb, are gone. That's crazy. Oh, my God.
Absolutely perfect. Oh my God. Okay. Shaddy. You suddenly feel a rush of cold.
Mm-hmm.
As you find yourself in this barren looking, what was once maybe a seaside town, buildings. These kind of wooden, ramshackled wooden and metal buildings, all kind of half destroyed and laid to waste. You see boats out sort of where the ocean once sort of was, you presume, these frozen boats in place. And I think there is a strange dawning in that split second for you, which is that as far as you know, this has always been frozen. So how would it be even remotely possible that there is boats in that ocean or in that water, but you see them frozen still. And you see a collection of them as though many of them took off at the same time. And the last thing that you notice, well, actually, no, sorry. You notice that Yernal appears next to you immediately, like, still in his, like, beast form. And there is another flash. And I think it's with this final flash of white light that you suddenly put something else together, which is that all of these buildings, even though they're all destroyed and ruined, were huge. Because you suddenly look and gaze upon a creature that is over 7 foot tall, barreling towards you. And even he looks small in comparison to some of these buildings. And I'm going to need you to roll initiative as the Salt Father,
of course,
grinning from ear to ear, charges towards you and goes,
"This is the quarry that I wanted.
Just be his son.
Be my son."
I rolled a 3.
Jeez. You need... Wait, what dice is this, John? Get rid of it.
It's the worst dice I've ever touched in my life.
Do you want to roll for Yernal for me, too?
Yeah, I guess. He rolled a 16.
Okay, still go second, because Assault Father's going to go first.
I'm so fucking dead.
You watch as the Salt Father flies towards you, jumping the final 10 feet, raising his scythe into the air, bringing it down towards you. As you like have a moment of like closing your eyes in hesitation, you realize that he's not going for you.
He's going for my boy.
As he hits with that attack. You see, Shadi, as you turn around, this scythe is buried into Yernal's side, and he lifts Yernal up with a single arm. You see the scythe digging through, and you can see as the scythe is cracking and snapping each of his ribs. Ugh. As he's, like, under the weight of his own body, is, like, snapping further down, and he is screaming in pain. As he takes 35 points of damage, and the Salt Father rears his head back and buries his teeth into Yernal's neck. That's a natural 20. Shit you not, that's a natural 20.
Yernal's fucked.
Here we go. So that's going to be...
He's dead.
4d8 and 6d6.
He's dead. He's so dead. He's fully dead.
Plus some.
He's dead, dead. He's all the way dead. There's no way he's living. He's dead.
I would like that audio isolated. Yeah. He's dead. He's so dead. He's dead. He's really dead. So he's dead.
I only have 12 HP. I can't fucking kill this guy with 12 HP.
With 3 hit points remaining.
Oh my Jesus.
Yernal spits blood back in his face and goes,
"Whatever evil you think you got, my family makes you look fucking amateur."
And he's going to attack back.
Oh yeah, he's a werewolf. He probably has way more HP than I thought.
Well, he's raging, so he managed to... Holy shit. He rolls a nat 20. He rolled two attacks. He rolled a nat 20 and a 19.
Get him, Urinal.
Yeah, Urinal, let's go.
I love that you're doing this and I am not.
This is... I wish I wasn't, honestly. So much math for me to do. Not bad, Yernal. Not bad. 34 points of damage in retaliation as he rakes his claws. Just literally any part of the Salt Father's body that he can get hold of, he just rakes his claws down the side of his body. He is going to use his free action, though, to say...
Shadi, you gotta get the bomb. You've gotta get the bomb.
Get it for what?
What do you mean? The same thing we did before.
And you see as the Salt Father, like, takes his free hand and just drives his fist, like, into his ribs. This is all kind of a part of the combat. He's not taking any more damage, don't worry.
He's like, this won't stop. Until we reprogram it, send him and the bomb somewhere and blow these fuckers up.
And then he's like, starts attacking back and biting into the Salt Father. Shaddy, is your go.
Fuck! So they're just kind of like going at it.
Mm-hmm.
Around, is there like any kind of like...
There's like a bunch of like debris, snow, like all kinds, all around. It's pretty dark.
Shaddy just can't die. I have 12 HP. I cannot be attacked by this man right now. Is there like, okay, this is crazy.
Ooh, wait, hold on. I've just realized something. So sorry to do this to you, John.
What, Jasper?
He has legendary actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Salt Father is going to raise an arm, and you see swirling around this arm is a crimson
Jasper
blood.
But that's my hand.
As your hand starts to raise into the air.
What?
And you can see your brother looking pretty worse for wear, and I'm going to need a wisdom saving throw from you, please, Shaddy.
Oh my god, go. This dice has to go away. 7.
This is definitely me being a generous DM, but I think it also tracks. You 100% know, Shaddy, if you fail this, he's going to make you kill your brother.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you advantage on this roll. Because if there's ever a time to attempt to resist something, this would be it.
19.
does that do it?
Succeeding.
Wow.
By one.
What?
Wow.
Shadrick Turlet, you raise this molten great axe in this field of snow and detritus. And you can feel yourself. You see every muscle and vein and sinew in your body looks as though it's going to break and snap as you fight so hard against this thing which is literally moving the blood around your body. It's not like it's controlling your mind. It is literally controlling the blood in your body as you feel yourself being pulled forward and as you rear this huge axe backwards. I need you to make me an attack roll as at the very last second, you lift the axe just enough to whistle over Yernal's head and it collides with the Salt Father.
Whoa!
A 3.
It pings off the Salt Father's head.
Seven total. But
and you don't drop it, but it kind of like, dink, off the Salt Father's head and he kind of snaps around and looks at you like,
how? How are you doing this? None of my children resist me.
Get different children.
I'm trying.
I don't want to be your child anymore, okay? I'm too many people's child already, okay?
That's all you had to say. You just had to ask to break it.
What?
You just had to ask.
Wait, really?
You entered into the contract willingly. You can...
Wait, what? I don't have
I'm fucking with you. Of course, that's not the way this works.
Shaddy really believed it for a second.
Even Yarnel looks at you like, Yarnel looks at you like, come on, dude. There's a flash of white light as you all find yourselves back in the solarium momentarily. Ollie, you were mentally prepared for this moment that should you be close enough to Shaddy that you could try and heal. Shaddy, would you still like to do this?
Yeah, if I can, I would love to lunge at Shaddy with a Cure Wounds.
You dive, as you can see the next flash starting to emanate, and just slap a hand on Shaddy's stomach. Shaddy, this hurts, for sure. Like, you're bleeding profusely from your stomach, and this hand just appears on it. Cool, how many hit points does Shaddy get back?
It's 2d8 plus 3, but whenever I'm restoring health, I can reroll a die on a 1. So we're guaranteed to do okay. Maybe. Here he goes. I rolled a 1 right out the gate, so I'm going to re-roll it. Thank God. That's 4 plus 4 plus 3, 11 hit points back to Shaddy.
It's so funny that the amount of damage the Salt Father is doing and then the amount of healing we can do is like 12 points. Great. Half a hit.
That's all I got for you.
It's almost like this is a hard combat for you to win.
Maybe his next attack won't outright kill you.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Maybe not. Maybe not. So, Tundra, you can see this purple tether extending between you and Ember. Shaddy, you can see this purple tether extending between you, the Salt Father and Yernal. There's like one to you, one to the Salt Father, and sort of vice versa. And Ollie, you can see the tether extending to you and the bomb. Would anyone like to break their tether?
Can I cut Shaddy's tether?
Ooh.
I hadn't considered whether you could cut someone else's tether. Which one?
I want to cut Shaddy's tether to the Salt Father.
Okay.
And I want to hand him the bomb.
Here's what I'm going to say. So the bomb is still in the other room.
Oh, I see.
Right? You're tethered via these things, right? Here's what I'll say. I will let you cut Shaddy's tethers entirely.
Yeah.
Or not at all. So you either cut him off from Yernal and the Salt Father.
Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
Yes.
So you cut Shaddy's tethers to Yernal and to the Salt Father.
With the cure wounds hand, I also heal him and then yank it off of the wound where it's stuck in.
Yeah. No big surprises. Yernal is 100% going to cut his tether now that he's not to the Salt Father.
Would we have enough time in this moment for me to say something to?
I'll say that like you're kind of having this happen before. As the white flashes were going off, you could kind of mentally prepare yourself for like being back in the room kind of thing. So you're getting a little bit like, you know, more used to this.
And I pop back in and I look at Ollie and I'm like, I don't know what, we have to get Yernal and the bomb together.
Yernal, by the way, is literally like keeled over, bleeding from like the biggest wound in his side. You, Ollie, as a medical professional, are absolutely baffled as to how this man is still alive.
Got it.
Like, he's losing enough blood to kill like several people over, you know, in like just in every second.
Okay, that does change things then a little bit. I would still go to heal Shaddy, but I would maybe cut my own tether so that the bomb has a chance of ending up with
you. I'll say you can do both.
Okay, yeah.
I'll say it's just like one motion. You just...
Shaddy cut and my tether cut. Hopefully the bomb realigns itself with Yernal.
Let's see.
On the roll. Oh, man.
As Tundra reappears in a flash of white light, you see her bleeding from a very precise wound in the neck. Tundra, I'm going to need a death saving throw from you, please.
Fuck.
So just a straight d20.
Oh, my God.
18.
That's a success.
Okay. Okay.
As you see, as Tundra coughs up some blood. As Ember reappears, giggling and laughing, I'm going to need everybody to roll a d20.
Two.
I swap dice, you guys. And I rolled a nat one.
No fucking way.
I got a natural 20.
Okay.
Oh, no. I don't like that face, Jasper.
I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. Just kill me. If I die, I'll just grab a snack and I'll hang.
If you have enjoyed this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, then why don't you go ahead and check out Oaths and Empires, which is another actual play show that I GM for the wonderful Luke Dale and Tom McKay from the amazing smash hit video game Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, in which we travail the Isle of Vale. I didn't even mean to make that rhyme. A dreary, rainy, monster-infested isle, which is determined to push our heroes to the limit. It's a fantastic listen, if I do say so myself, and I would love to see some of you over there. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore.